Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. It's a lovely day, Rob. It's the weather has turned in the UK. Well, for me anyway, in London. I am a London-based Man United watcher. One of those lot.
Just a London Red. Know, is that what you are?
London Red.
Yeah. I can hear the cock.
Doesn't take me long
voice.
To get home. Doesn't take me long to get home.
You can get the tube home.
How's it with you? A great start to a podcast with a typical British conversation about how the weather is in your area.
Oh, a great start to a podcast. I'll carry on from where I left off in the last show. I've had terrible, terrible hay fever with this upturn in nice weather, and I'd like to get out in it a little bit more. But literally after our last show, I've been in bed for 2 or 3 days with it, absolutely hammered with horrible, horrible symptoms. But I'm here again today. We're all right, and I think the symptoms have got a little bit better, so I ain't going to complain. But yeah, weather talk at the start of a British podcast about football. That's how all podcasts start, isn't it?
It is how you should start a podcast, I think. This is about Man United anyway. Yeah. Maybe a change in the weather means a change in fortunes for Man United. Because
I don't know what that means. What does that mean, Scott?
At the moment, Man United are crap. And I don't use that word lightly.
Eric
they
did.
Play Arsenal. So... Oh, he did actually, didn't he, last week? He did actually use the word crap to describe a report about Man United selling all of their squad. That's what was going around last week. But, I play Arsenal on Sunday. And I've got to say, like, any normal person should think that Arsenal should go and blow United away because Arsenal are a good team and Man United are absolute chaos. But
yeah,
I'm looking at this and I'm like, United are so mad. I could see them winning. Like, it's just so stupid. What a stupid football team this is.
Well, can you imagine Man United win the title for Man City? It's like, it's perverse, isn't it? But you're right.
Do you think, and I said this on another conversation yesterday, do you think Man United care as much about stopping Man City winning the league as Tottenham do about stopping Arsenal winning the league? Because they both play... Yeah, nowhere near the difference. Nowhere near, is it?
No. Like, I think the thing is, and all right, let's look at it from like our point of view. I was much more bothered that we stopped Liverpool.
Absolutely, yeah.
I have got a tweet in my folder for the end of the season already saying my favourite bit of Jurgen Klopp's final season was this, and it's Ahmad running through, putting the ball in the bottom corner. So that was my favourite bit of the season. Small pickings, isn't it? Slim pickings. But yeah. I think the things with City is that, yeah, there are local rivals, but like it's a bit soft, isn't it? Like, we don't want them to win the title. But
it's a bit artificial, Rob.
They're not Liverpool, are they? And the thing is, for Spurs and Arsenal, that's proper hatred. Like, they literally, you know, would not cross the road to put one of the other supporters out if they were on fire. You know, they wouldn't do that because they really, really dislike each other for obvious reasons. So, I would not surprise me if United robbed something off Arsenal. Even a draw would obviously be catastrophic for Arsenal's title challenge. You just said that a normal person would think that Arsenal would win. I'm obviously a normal person then, because I think Arsenal will do the job. They've been so good. I've watched all of Arsenal's games this year. I'm very impressed with how they just get on with adversity. And I think the Declan Rice signing that we wanted at the start of the season, Scott, you remember the shows we did? Get Declan Rice, 100 million, bargain. Well, if Arsenal win the title, Declan Rice's 100 million fee is going to look like chicken feed.
If Declan Rice joined United, he'd be awful. Just saying that.
It'd be terrible. He wouldn't know his pass to.
Yeah, although he'd probably do a better job of covering the ground than Casemiro, unfortunately. We didn't talk about this the other day. Jamie Carragher saying Casemiro should just essentially leave because, like, leave the game before the game leaves you.
Yeah.
Like, as much as, like, maybe that is a fair assessment of Casemiro's performances, is that a bit harsh? Like, he is a legend of football. And I feel like, obviously, the 4-0 meant that we had to talk about the 4-0, but I've been thinking about that a few times this week, and I'm like, that's really horrible to say on telly.
Sounds like Jamie Carragher needs to be on a fan channel rather than being on a commercial channel. Because when I heard that as well, Scott, I think the funny thing is that, see, that's not football opinion. That isn't. That's some kind of weird, personal, kind of veiled thing. Do you know what I mean? And I think with Casemiro is that the tactics that United play every week are going to make him look like this. This is how it goes. I would not be surprised if he goes somewhere after this and plays in a different system and is okay.
Or even if he gets a different manager next season who shuts up shop a little bit better and nobody wants him because that's a big wage. Like, yeah, maybe there's a renaissance.
Systematically, Scott, he fits a Potter or a Tuchel much more than he fits a Ten Hag. That is the truth. So I think the thing is that, yeah, you're right. I actually didn't think it was a nice way of him putting it at all, because it's not. I don't think I don't agree with that. You see, you know, like in the last few weeks, people have said, oh, like, he's just lost it, Casemiro, in the last few weeks. It's like, this was a problem we're talking about a year ago at the end of the season. Yeah, so it's not new. Like, people think that it's a brand new thing. He's just lost it. No, this has been a decline from a year ago. So it's weird that Carragher might say it like that, because it just seems too aggressive for me. And I actually think that he's still got a football career somewhere, like even maybe Man United, if you change the system. But no, like, Casemiro was a bad buy. I think that's the bigger part of it. £65,350,000 a week for a player at that age, fifth choice at Real Madrid. Bad buy. That's more my shtick. Do you get what I'm saying? And he also did it, didn't he, Jamie Carragher? He also jumped on the Anthony Mason Mount thing where they were going in their hands and was like, get off the pitch. Like, I don't know. Like, keep it to fan channels, man. I don't want to see it on Sky Sports.
Well, yeah. I like Casemiro, but obviously we pointed out at the start of the season, didn't we? Like, just how... Yeah. We didn't think Casemiro would be able to cover this much ground. And obviously he's playing centre-back as well, but I think he was dribbled past 8 times in the Palace game, which is not good. But anyway, that was not in the agenda. But I think if you're listening along today, we don't have a specific topic that we're going to, like, absolutely dive into and pick apart.
We're going to get chatty, aren't we? We said.
It's not really one of those days, I don't think. So we'll fire through a few different conversation topics, and a few of them are managers. Sorry. One of them is João Neves. One of them is, we're going to talk about Jadon again a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did you see this week that Man United are still valued by Sportico as the most valuable football club in the world? Imagine they were good.
6.2 billion, did we see? Was that the number? Yeah. Like, and imagine if Man United were, like, it's funny, isn't it? The most valuable football team on the planet can't play football. It's hilarious. So, like, you know, if you weren't a Man United fan, you'd be looking at that and going, that's ridiculous, isn't it? So, yeah, Scott, I think it also shows, doesn't it, that if you do get it right in the next year, say, you know, Jim Ratcliffe, why has he put this money into the football club? That the value's already there. Do you get what I mean? You've already got something against there that, in terms of your protection of your assets. And United, you know, Real Madrid just got the Champions League final, didn't they? They're not worth the same amount of money as Man United. So I think it's one of these things that's come into football, isn't it, about how much a football club is worth. Like, really, is it important? Well, not to us. But to the people that be and the power brokers, it is still important. That's kind of where you are. And it also means, Scott, in a transfer market, you can go to players and say, do you know what? We've not been very good 10 years, but look at us. We're still number one. And we want you to help us be number one on the footballing pitch. Well, when people say, oh, why would anyone join Man United? Well, that's why. Because United are still number one, even when they're awful. So it's not like you're going to a completely sinking ship. You're going to, I don't know, a raft in the Atlantic Ocean drifting. At least there's something there. It's still staying afloat. And Man United are still has the value as the most valuable club in the world.
We'll also talk about the Arsenal game a little bit. There's some timely in Harry's Harry is an Arsenal fan who helps us with the podcast. Yeah. He said, oh, well, that's typical, isn't it? That Lisandro Martinez, Luke Shaw, Marcus Rashford, and potentially Victor Lindelof are back in training for the Man United versus Arsenal game. we'll see. I mean, but I've said it numerous times. I think Martin has been such a big miss this season. Such a big miss. Obviously, the fact that United also haven't had a left back for the entire season, essentially. Big miss as well. So we'll see whether both of them are thrown back in. We'll talk about that, how you should manage them. Obviously, the only thing really left to play for this season, unless you count the Europa League, is an FA Cup. So we will see how they're integrated back in, but they are back in training. There's pictures of them as well. But subscribe to the show on audio. Apple and Spotify is where you can find us. Give us a 5-star review and leave a review for us. Nice words, preferably. And watch us on YouTube as well, where you can like the stream, subscribe, leave a comment, and hit the notification bell on both so you never miss a show. And follow us on socials at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC. You might grab a poll. You might be able to vote in a poll that Rob puts out. If you would like
do to do some polls, do some football polls. I do quite like them because even though it's difficult because, you know, opinion swings wildly anyway, it's just nice sometimes when we're doing our shows and prepping the show, like if there's a topic like Erik ten Hag, that we kind of just see what the broad split on things are. Do you know what I mean? So it's like a little bit like the Promised Land general election. It's a little bit like that, just to see what people think in that moment. But yeah, I did a poll this week. I mean, you got the numbers there, Scott?
I'm just dragging them up. Your attention, please. Rob tweeted, who will be the Man United manager next season? Erik ten Hag or someone else? Graham Potter has informed Ajax that he won't be joining them. And that story came out yesterday.
Yeah, official.
Yeah. Who do you think Dan Ashworth wants at Old Trafford and why, was Rob's question in a poll. Mm-hmm. Erik ten Hag, Graham Potter, Thomas Tuchel and Gareth Southgate. We'll talk about each of them in this section. I don't know whether you voted in this poll or not, but if you did, your vote. Gareth Southgate, 4% of the vote. Graham Potter, 21% of the vote. Thomas Tuchel, 37% of the vote. And Erik ten Hag with 38% of the vote. Seems to suggest, although I can't say that that's what people want. Your question was, who do you think Ashworth wants?
Yes. So, and that was the question. And also, that was deliberate, because I think that's the thing, it's also about how do Man United fans feel about Ineos there? Like what's Ineos's intentions and what do people think about that? Because I think we've seen over the last, say, 6 to 12 weeks, like, the direction that Ineos want to go in. And I do think, you know, with Erik, you know, there is still a chance. This is why, Scott, like, again, I did a tweet weeks ago in February saying that Erik ten Hag had 15 games to save his job. But I didn't mean it like that. I meant it in the terms of, like, he had 15 games to impress, to kind of, it was the bit that, you know, this is the run of games where Ineos will make the choice about you, Erik. And of course, in that 15 games, it's been pretty dire, isn't it, in terms of performances and results. So I still think he's got a chance, even though that chance, I think, by the minute decreases. It really, really does. And he hasn't really helped himself. We're Team Erik. We wanted Erik to stay all the way from the beginning. It's just that it has been that bad. And I think that's how I described it. It was like, we didn't even think it would be this bad, even though we thought it might be this bad. So here we are. So I think that's interesting. I said before, I will not be against Erik ten Hag being the manager next season, but I really don't think Ineos want that. That's just my opinion. And I think Ineos are making their moves to go and get their next manager.
Gary Neville has said today that he said a few weeks ago, actually, or a couple of months ago, I think Ineos have made their decision already. And then he goes and says on his podcast this week, I think Ten Hag's going to stay, which is an interesting turn after United get smashed 4-0 by Palace and they play three Premier League games where it's pretty conceivable that they won't win another. And then they have an FA Cup final against the would-be champions and the champions of the last three Premier Leagues, and who won the treble last season. City are, well, we'll see if they're the best team in England over the next week or two, but they pretty much are in a lot of people's eyes. But Neville thinks Ten Hag's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one. But he also, well, anything else you want to say on Ten Hag before we move into these other people?
I think the thing is, I don't actually think Gary's wrong. I think the one thing that we don't know, looking at all our sourcing and the bits we know and all of this and putting things together, is that we don't know what Ten Hag has said in a room sat with Ineos. We don't know that bit. That is private, and Ineos are not going to tell anyone, like they're not. So there might be, Scott, something down there where Ineos have gone, look, we want to do the project this way in the next 2 or 3 years, and you're walking a tightrope here. Your performances are awful, but we're not going to assess you on that. Like, you know, the team's not performing right now. All right, we'll give it to you that you've got injuries. We'll give it to you that there's problems. But in the transfer window, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And if you don't sort it out quite quickly into next season, then we've got people lined up. That kind of makes a lot of sense. But then the thing is that the other people we're going to talk about now, Tuchels and the Potters, and if they're their people, then it means that you probably will miss out on them, won't you? Like, because they'll get other jobs, just what it is. So I think that's the balancing act here. Eric's got to be really careful, Scott. Like, you're playing Arsenal. Don't get hammered against Arsenal. Don't get hammered against Newcastle. Don't then lose to Brighton. Don't get hammered by Man City. And all of that is just negative, isn't it? Kind of like, it's not even like, go beat them. It's like, don't get hammered. So I think there is a reality here where Ineos could say, right, we're not even looking at results now because we want to do this. And you're going to either come on the journey with us, Eric, and you're going to do as you're told. You're going to play this style of football, and here's some footballers for you. Or they'll go, no, actually, we really don't like what you're doing. We don't like it. The players don't like it. Your tactics are horrible. So I think that's a catch 22. And one thing no one will know, no journalist will know exactly what was said in that room, because they're not going to reveal it in Ineos. They're very secretive. They're doing that really well, I think, keeping things quiet. And I don't think Erik ten Hag is in his interest to come out and say anything. And, you know, maybe his representation is part of this as well, somewhere down the line, the people that represent Erik. And they're being very quiet as well. So I think they just need to get their heads down for the next 2 or 3 weeks, just try and win football matches. Right? That's really what you've got to do. And that then quietens some of the fires, doesn't it?
We'll see. I mean, it's been such a mystery what's happened at United this season. There's so many things that you can look into that are issues. But I think the overall thing really is that there's so much wrong that it's just a big mess. And what you see on the pitch is just one example of what's wrong.
But there's 15 fires burning, but it's all in front of you in one go. It just looks like one big fire. So, like, that's the thing, isn't it?
Is that eventually the fire will all become one fire as well, you know?
Exactly. So I do think, because that's where you're creeping towards, isn't it, with Eric, is that that's, I think, what the disintegration of the team this year has been like. That it's all these little bits, and like you mentioned, Martinez, that's one fire, isn't it? You know, you look at the centre back pairings, that's another fire. You look at the fullback issues, you look at the left, but you know you've had two left backs out who would have definitely played. So all of these things, you know, Hoyland having a spell where he's not scored goals, Bruno when he's not been as productive, Rashford. Every one of these are like individual fires, and they all create smoke, don't they? So, like, I think that's kind of where we are with it. And I think, I actually think, Scott, Ineos are the right people to see through that. I think Ineos might be the ones who go, all right, we get this, but nah, we're not going to react to this. We're still going to do it the way we want to do it. So that's Eric's best chance, is that they look at him and they say, do you know what? We are going to give you a chance with us. But it's not going to be a big chance, mate. Like 6, 8, 10 games in, if this is still doing this with new players, we're already planning to move you out. And I think Eric, like, this is last year, isn't it? Contract. And
they do have an option to trigger for an extra.
They have an option. And I think the thing is that it almost today feels like a crazy reality that they could ever trigger that. But say he does go into next season, Scott, and say he does survive, and say the first 10 games are really good. Say we see something different stylistically, everyone's fit. They're triggering that contract.
That's the thing. Like, people look at the football now and think it is never, ever, ever going to get any better.
Mm.
Which isn't like necessarily that. The case. It's, no. But it might feel like it, but it's not necessarily the case.
Mm.
Like, no matter what you think of Erik ten Hag, he might actually have a point when he talks about injuries. You know?
He keeps trying to say about that, doesn't he? That's his thing. He's not changed his shtick. He's kept going, it's the worst thing I've ever experienced in football. When it's like, okay, I get it. And you're right. And that's why I'm saying that Ineos might be the right guys to actually see that, because I think most new owners wouldn't. Like, look at that. Like, you know, I'm not too far from Hull City here. You know, Hull, you know, the manager falls out with the chairman. The chairman goes on Sky Sports News and says, I just don't like his football, so I sacked him. I don't actually think that's what Ineos will do. I don't think Ineos will look at it differently. It's not a personal thing. I need to see this style of football. So they want to see winning football. That's what they want to see. So for Erik, yeah, you've got to get back to winning somehow, make Man United a winning entity. And that's the cornerstone, I think, of whoever the manager will be, is that you've got to make Man United win games again.
Yeah, I know some people might think that I'm very much like Ten Hag in till I die, kind of.
Ten Hag stan, that's what you are, innit?
I'm a stan.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the modern... in the modern
Stan Saunders.
Yeah, in Mansion. But when you think about this, right, if he is a manager that wants to play from the back, he bought Andre Onana to play football out of the back.
Yeah.
All season, he's had Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who you can look at and say he's not a ball player. I think everybody can look at Aaron Wan-Bissaka and say his strong point is not on the ball. Everybody can universally agree with that.
Yeah.
His strong point is one-on-one defending. United paid 45-50 million for him. He's been available, fine. Diogo Dalot, people are split on him. He's been present for a lot of the season. Some people think he's had a good season. Other people think he's a disaster. But also, yeah, I know you think that.
I'm putting faces for people not on YouTube.
Yeah, he's useful on the ball. He is okay, right? So you got Wan-Bissaka, you can't really rely on to play progressive football. Dalot, maybe, and he's been fit. Then you have a half-fit Johnny Evans, who's played a fair bit. He's decent on the ball, but really, he's not the option that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have Harry Maguire, who he literally tried to sell a year ago, and the club stopped him selling because they didn't want to pay off the agreed amount on Maguire's contract to let him go to West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Lindelof, who everybody has essentially agreed by now, so he's been here since 2017, that he is not a Man United defender. No. And United will probably sell him at some point in the next year or so, maybe even this summer, he leaves.
Yep.
Rafa Varane, injured all the time, good defender. But you don't think of him as a progressive ball-playing defender, do you?
No.
You just don't. Lisandro Martinez, out all season. The only player in that defense, really, who is capable of passing the ball out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Shaw, injured all season, can do what Martinez does, but is a left back. Tyrell Malacia, out all season. Like, and I know I'm listing all these players off. I probably missed one or two there. But my point is, how can you expect to see the football that Erik ten Hag is trying to play actually work when, and he's literally admitted, he said in the week or last week, yeah, we brought Andre Onana in so we can start playing football at the back.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a player to pass to. He doesn't.
Totally.
And then you have Casemiro,
who
we all look at playing in this system and think, yeah, you got dribble past 8 times. You don't have the legs for this position. So that is literally his entire back line, which is fundamental to the structure of the team, doesn't work.
Completely. there is a theory, Scott, like you know, just said there about Ineos being very secretive and Erik ten Hag not really, you know, having the impetus here to kind of say much publicly about it. There is a theory here that in the initial conversations between Erik and the new arm of the football club of Ineos, is that there was a kind of coming together, that they were happy with the direction, like both sides. And the theory is, Scott, is that maybe Erik is proving his point here to Ineos in saying, look at all these players we got, yeah? I don't want most of them. This is a system I will play, and I'll play it every week because this is going to be my holistic approach to the team. But this is your problem, Ineos. You need to fix this bit. So I'm going to risk my job, because let's be honest, if I get sacked, I just get paid a load of money. That's good. I go home and managers don't have to think like they did 20 years ago about jobs and, you know, having to sign on or something like that when they've lost a job. They're all millionaires. And he might be saying, you know, I'm going to stick to my values here. And it's up to you, the football arm now, to fix this. And if you fix it, I'll give you a winning team. So there is that. So it might feel horrible to everyone else watching it, but there is that theory there, is that Ineos are either going to look at it and go, no, your tactics are mad and we don't want to do it. You mentioned, Scott, last week, which I think was a brilliant, brilliant call by you. It was about Real Madrid. Real Madrid play this style of football. Real Madrid play this kind of like, we're going to outball you type of football, yeah? And they're in a Champions League final. So I think the thing is, there is the City model, and I think that's very much akin to the Premier League now. The Premier League all aspire to play that style of football from what City have done the last few years because they've been winning. But then on the flip side of that, you've got Liverpool, who are more entertaining, but maybe as well a little bit more kind of vulnerable. Yeah. So there's a middle ground there somewhere, right? There is a middle ground there somewhere where Ineos might go, well, your plan isn't completely flawed, Eric. And Eric goes, I agree. And it's the players. And I need to get players out. And you need to get me new players. Or you need to sack me, one or the other.
And how do you respond, right? Mm. Because I've tweeted about this in the week and I got a bit of backlash. When you get a bit of backlash, you just kind of like switch your. But turn off Twitter or whatever, and it's like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The argument about the Palace game was that 9 of the players are Ten Hag signings.
Mm.
How much of this do you buy? Because, yeah, okay, fair enough. But also, are you sitting there telling me that he wanted Johnny Evans to play pretty much every game at 36?
Mm.
Are you sitting there telling me he wanted Christian Eriksen 2 years in to be covering all of the ground that he has to cover? Are you telling me that he wants Casemiro to play centre back? Like, you have to go through pain to kind of get to the other side. And the point that I've been trying to make with Ten Hag over the past few months is we get to this point with managers at United where we're like, right, it's clearly not working. You have to get rid of him. You have to. No manager has ever seen through that period and got out the other side. And they've always, United have not had the bottle, really, to withstand the pressure and stick to it. And I'm not saying that Ineos will, but people don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear it. But I listen to what Ten Hag says in press conferences, and I think, you have valid points. You really do. And like, yes, he's brought in a lot of players, but the entire back line is not what he would pick. And that's the foundation of his team.
He might not pick any player in front of him. He might pick Andre Onana, and that's it. Like, honestly, being completely honest, Andre Onana, I think he would pick Rasmus Højlund. I think he would absolutely pick Bruno. Yeah, I think he wants Bruno in the team. Like, Mount. He doesn't change Bruno. I think he would want Mount. I think he would want Luke Shaw. And then after that, it's getting slim again, isn't it? Slim pickings. So, like, you know, you look through the team. And I think that's where maybe his point becomes more valid. I think the flip side on that is that when the bleeding is bleeding really badly, your job as a manager is to stop the bleeding. Yeah. And I think that if he's gone in and got assurances from Ineos and he's gone, I'm just going to do this and it's up to you guys now to fix it in the window, that might be one reason why he is carrying on doing what he's doing. Because I don't think he's as mad as this. Like I've said this before, is that I look at what he's trying to do and I think to myself, right, my instinct is that if I'm on a training pitch, Scott, on side of a football pitch and I'm managing a team, what would I do? And it's like, well, I'm trying to stop things that are going wrong. But he, being a privileged millionaire, might be able to just go, well, actually, no, I don't need to do that. I can just do this. And if you sack me, I'll go get a job somewhere else. Yeah, people are knocking on my door. It's cool. So I actually think Ineos might look at that and have a little bit of sympathy around that and go, well, actually, you're right. You know, United have bought terribly in the last few years. Like, who did he want, Scott? You just talked about Johnny Evans. He wanted Kim Min-jae. Well-sourced. We know 100% he wanted Kim Min-jae. He was going down that route. That was the play he wanted. And Man United didn't
Not had a great happen. Couple of weeks in the Champions League, though.
Not had a great couple of weeks, I think. So, again, like, we look at it, but it's retrospective. So you kind of look at what, you know, of what he's done. But he's gone to Bayern Munich. Look, not a lot of people have done great at Bayern Munich this year, though. Harry Kane has done a lot. And Harry, he said 1 week ago, I wanted Harry Kane. Well, Harry Kane scored 46 goals in 46 games. That might have helped Man United this year, maybe, tiny bit, I don't know. So the manager isn't wrong. You see, so like, this is the issue, is that, you know, coming up against Arsenal, it's a juggernaut. It's a team who want to absolutely smash you, get the goals, get those goals scored, because obviously they're looking for goal difference against Man City. And it's a worry, isn't it? But like I said, the next 3 weeks of football kind of don't mean anything. They really don't. And it's up to Ineos to decide, no, we'll stick with this guy. And we're actually going to give him some of these players now. Like, we're going to find them. We're not going to spend 100 million every player, but we are going to find people that fit what he's telling us he wants to, because we quite like it. We like that. We think that style of football, looking at Real Madrid, that there is a way getting younger players either from South America or in Europe, go find your Jude Bellingham, who cost you a lot of money, but then becomes a cornerstone. And then you put those things together to create a squad, don't you? United definitely don't have that. If you're going to run the game, yeah, with Marcus Rashford doing what he does on the left-hand side, then there's no point pressing. It's like, it's just, why? Don't bother doing it. Like, it doesn't work. Just going to put on the cherry on the top of that cake, Scott, is that, you know, without Cobby this year, that midfield would have absolutely fallen apart. Man United would have been 12 for 13 for 14th this year, totally. But Cobby gave you a bit of control. He's now suffering a little bit because he's played so many games, so many minutes. Same with Garnacho's form, I think, is suffering now because he's played, like, started 32 games or something. So I think for Eric, that's what I keep doubling down on in my head, is that it almost feels like he knows something that we don't. It's almost like he's like, yeah, if they sack me, that's cool. That's up to them. I'll get a few million quid. I'll live with that. But I've told them this, and they've gone, all right, and we're going to the transfer window, and we're going to work together. Because he does seem a little bit defiant. I don't know about what you think. He feels like impressors. He's not, doesn't always look like a guy crumbling, though. At times, I think he's a little bit like, after bad performances. But, you know, like the presser today, I'm sure he'll be defiant. He'll be like, yeah, Arsenal coming. I'm going to go and beat them. So he says every week, isn't it? I've got the squad.
We're Man United. We have to win every game. He says it in every press conference. And
it's like AI Ten Hag, isn't it? Like, you completely know what he's going to say. But I actually think that's what managers do. Just say the bog standard thing. Why give people headlines, you know?
The way I see it, right? And this is not a defense of Ten Hag. I'm just saying, like, people write him off. They watch what they see and they think, that's crap. And it is. Like, it is. But also, does the manager actually have a point in what he's trying to get across?
Of course,
he deserves, yeah, like, to be heard out. And, like, instead, people, like, listen to, like, little sound bites of what he says. And he's mental. He's crazy. But also, how many of those players in that team can you tell me, right? Especially in the back line. And this is the profile of play United should be going for, because this is the profile of play that all clubs go for at the top nowadays. Strong, athletic, good on the ball.
Yeah.
How many of those players, how many players in that back line have those qualities?
Oh, no, it's a joke.
Really?
It was something that Jose tried to address. Like, Jose was very much, like, we know, obviously, like, an athletic footballer. And that was a big thing for him, like, in year one. He was like, I want athletes, yeah. So I think United do need a little bit of that. But I also think that the technical aspect of the game is something that passes United by, like,
completely, yeah,
too easily in games. And that's gone on for years, obviously. That's because you haven't had a structure with a football department. Now you do. You've literally just gone and got a technician from Southampton who's been at City and done all of those things. You know, you're kind of laying the foundations. And that's also why you still, to an element, have to be patient. You do. So I don't, like, I think with Erik ten Hag, I still think that Ineos might be leaning towards a new manager, because if you're going to replace, you know, all the bits of the engine, then why would you leave one bit that appears to be failing? But we don't know what has been agreed between them. They might well have sat down and just said, look, we're not going to give you forever, but we're going to give you a bit longer. And these results are not really what we're thinking about. We're thinking about next season and the summer transfer window. And the summer transfer window will reveal a lot of things, Scott. Like, say he does remain and he isn't sacked in 3 weeks' time, then we will know how they're going to purchase and what they're going to do, because they're going to work around that. And I think Eric will just be like, give me five players that can press and that will stay fit and that are athletic, and then judge me.
And good on the ball.
Yeah, like, judge me
that
then.
That profile of player, Yeah. That preferred player, if it's Ten Hag or somebody else, should be signed anyway.
And that's all you should sign. Exactly. So the thing is that if he does get those five players and then doesn't prove it and he goes, it doesn't matter, does it? Because you're going to bring in someone else who's going to use them in the correct way. And I always think that's the big bugbear at United, is that you sign a player, like, so we, you know, do a bit of Jadon soon, but you sign Jadon and you totally have a system that doesn't really get the most out of him anyway. So it's kind of like, well, why did you sign him? Well, you signed him for the previous manager. So this is the problem at United, is that there's been no philosophy. And that's also why, Scott, we talk about philosophy a lot on this show, because it does matter behind the scenes when you're in the boardroom talking about these things. They're not talking about the nuance or tactics. They're talking about, how do we want the club to play? How are we going? What player do we want to help this club play this kind of football? You get Jadon, you either bring him back because you've got Ten Hag out, or you move him out, you get the money for him, and then you do go for an Elise-type player who you might look at and go, well, actually, he ticks these boxes more. Or you might go, he gets too injured. So it's one of those things, is that you've got to go out into the market. People tell me all the time, like, it's, you know, value in the market. Yes, there is. There's players out there. Go to South America. They're everywhere. There's a ton of technical players out there who are all physically strong, who all know what to do on the ball. And across Europe and go into Asia. You know, you go and look now in places like Japan and Korea, where you wouldn't look before, where there is now talent that people haven't exploited for years. And they're there. You just need your scouting networks to get them. So I'm always down with that. That's also why, Scott, I'm not one of these, every player has to be English. Like, people say to me, oh, you like the English players. I don't at all. Like, I don't care if the player is from the moon, but I want him to be able to trap a ball and pass it 10 yards. And I want him to do that 97% of the time. I want the earth. I don't want you to give it away. So that's really, I think, the crux of it. And for the manager, that's why we say the manager is not the most important part. Because it's now getting the technical aspects of the football team back on track. And let's be honest, it's not been on track forever. Like, did you see what Ashley Young said the other night about Fergie? Did you hear some of that?
That we didn't do any tactical work.
Yeah. He said it was a different time.
It's Ancelotti, isn't it?
He said it was a different time. He said, we literally did no tactical work at all. He said, we got fit and then we knew what we were doing and we played, obviously, like, United played 4-4-2, but towards the end of Fergie's time, played a lot more 4-4-1-1. And Young went from being a winger, an attacking winger, didn't he? And then when Ten Hag turned up, became a wing back. It was only when Ten Hag turned up, he said it was the first time we kind of ever did tactics. And I think that's how the game has changed. Like, from that period 10, 12 years ago, is that so much is laid on players now. And it's almost like they're learning a Bible of tactics now, Scott, that they weren't 10, 15, 20 years ago, when Roy Keane was running around, smashing people in midfields, and Scholesy looked like a Mercedes with the ball. They actually weren't told to do a lot of stuff, tracking and all of that. They just did it. That's how the game was. So that's what United need to build towards now, is that I don't think they've ever gotten bored with that. In 12 years, they've never gone, oh, we need to be more technically proficient. They haven't. They got John Murto, and John Murto's done not a lot. Like, credit to him, partner back for the academy has done really well, and people are involved in the academy in the last 2 or 3 years, but overall you're not as technical as, say, other teams, are you? And that's, I think, the difference between United and, say, Arsenal or United and City, is that technique level. Go find the players that can do it for you.
I saw a picture yesterday of 5 years ago, the Arsenal team that got I was at this game, actually. The Arsenal team that lost the Europa League final to Chelsea in Baku.
God, not one player. We were in that. I know.
Not one player. I know it was 5 years ago, so maybe it's a while, but not one player in that team is there now.
Mm.
They completely revamped their team and totally. filled their team with modern, technical, athletic players.
Yeah.
And I know, yeah, Arteta has had a big part in that, but also he's had a lot of support from Edu.
Massively. You know? Edu's the big piece in that.
You know?
That's how you
evolve a football club.
And if we want to make the comparison, again, between, say, Arteta and Ten Hag's predicament, is that I think Arteta did exactly the same thing, Scott. I think Arteta said to Arsenal, all right, I've done this for 2 years. It's a nightmare. And these players are on big wages. But do you know what? I'm just not going to pick them anymore. Not picking them anymore. So you now need to get these players out so we can get players in. you know what? That's exactly what Arsenal did. It was still a shock. People forget, don't they, that when Ozil was shown the door at the football club and when Aubameyang was shown the door at the football club, at the time, it was still a shock. People were still going, well, these are your best players. Why are you not just building around them, even though they're senior players? But of course, they'd run out of juice, hadn't they, in terms of their use. And Arteta was right. So Arteta bringing in Martinelli and Saka, which were like the first lot, the first wave. Look at it now, Scott. They're going for a title. Martinelli's not playing. He's looking at him. He's gone, do you know what? I like you, Martinelli. You're not doing what I want you to do. Go sit on the bench. That's exactly the way you should manage. But Ten Hag is in earlier in that curve, isn't he? Still, it's still only the end of kind of year two. And this now, people are going to say, oh, Rob, you're just being contrary to defend Ten Hag. I'm not. I'm trying to be balanced. Is that Ten Hag might look at that and say, be saying the same thing to Ineos and saying, okay, you got all these big earners. I wouldn't have given them these contracts. Like, if I was in charge of those bits, which of course managers are not. But I think he might be looking at it and going, right, I'm going to play 4-1-4-1, hella high water. And I'm going to play Casemiro there because he's the best player I've got there. But you know what? This is the club's fault, not my fault. So we're going to lose. That's just the way it is. And if that works for him, Scott, like, my God, in a year's time, he's going to look like a genius, isn't it? Like,
can you imagine if he turns it around?
Look, I think how, there is a universe somewhere where that happens. I really do believe that without me. People say, well, you know what you've put out there in the world, Rob. I don't like what Ten Hag's done this year. I really don't think the football has been atrocious. But I also agree that have been reasons for that football to be atrocious. He is one of them. But if he's agreed with the board that, and we don't know that, Scott, then that explains stuff, doesn't it? That explains to us what it could be. They're not going to tell us. We're just going to have to watch it and work it out. Again, when we were in Vegas, Scott, with the team, like in the summer, and we watched those tactics, and we watched what United were doing, we were all a bit miffed. We were a bit like, what? This doesn't feel good. Like, you know, what are you doing? But United have kind of carried that on all season, haven't they? But with less players, because people have been getting injured nonstop. Who's to say that if he'd had his players, that results wouldn't have been better, that you might have been fighting for top four at least this year, which might have been where United are. But I do think that the big question now is, do Ineos buy players for Ten Hag system if Ten Hag wants to play this way? And do those things correlate? Like, do they go together? Is that exactly what Dan Ashworth wants?
They should correlate. The players that United buy should be for Ten Hag and whichever manager is next. It should be.
The players should be for who, if Dan Ashworth says, I want to play 3-4-3, I'm going to get a coach that wants to play 3-4-3, and I'm going to buy players that play 3-4-3, not the first time in their lives. You know, they're going to know the systems before they come, and then we will teach it to them, and we'll have young players and we'll teach it to them. And I think the thing is that we don't know. I put 3-4-3 out there because that's obviously one of Brighton's famous systems going back with Graham Potter. But, you know, you look at Newcastle, which is more conventional with their midfield. So that might be what the manager decides to do. He might go, actually, I want to play more like this. I want two strikers up there, like Newcastle like to play. There are all these if, buts, and maybes, but they are valid, because I think the whole thing is, we don't know. Dan Ashworth actually has very similar kind of style and substance to Ten Hag. They might have sat down and gone, do you know what, we agree on a lot here. So let's wait till next year. Like, we actually quite like each other, but they're not going to go into the public domain and say that. Why should they? Like, people said to me, why have Ineos not backed the manager? They're going to keep him. Why should they? Like, you know, what we do at work, we don't tell everyone, do we? You know, what we decide, we don't go out on Twitter and say, oh, you know, Rob and Scott have decided this. No, we don't. We decide it and then we get on with it. So it's exactly the same for Ineos, is that they'll be looking at that. I've just compared us to Ineos, Scott, like a multi-billion pound company. But the whole point is that Ineos don't need to reveal anything. They don't. We'll hear about it when they decide it. And yeah, the decision really is keep Ten Hag, try it with some new players, or you flip it to Potter, to Tuchel, to Southgate being sick there, you know. You've got options. And I think that's why Ratcliffe is comfortable with it. Now, did you see as well, he's sending emails around Man United, really criticising people and saying, get on with this now. Like, you know, no
come
more
back to work.
Home. Yeah, no more working from home. No more doing this. You know, Old Trafford looks like trash. Clean it up. Do all this. And United kind of needed a boss a bit like that. Someone who kind
he's
of... Get,
he's come. Getting stick for it, Rob, but it's necessary. How long have we been talking about culture? And that's not only that's within the club. It's not a culture of winning anymore. Like, they've done an assessment on the club and have found that there's too many staff.
And you know what? Like a little bit there about stuff, but just a little bit about Old Trafford. Let's go back to Old Trafford is dirty. I go there. I'm there. I go round the ground and I'm like, this is why we're having the conversation about a new stadium, because Old Trafford has degraded so massively in 20 years from being the jewel in the crown of English football to now being a kind of little bit of a dirty mess that we all go to every week because we love our football club. So I'm not surprised you sent that email, because I think I would have sent that email. But I'd be like, you know, and you have to be pushy. Like, you're going to start, especially if a business is failing. And Man United might be the, you know, said they're £6.2 billion football club, but on the football pitch is failing. So you've got to start from the beginning, haven't you? You've got to go from the lowest level, work your way up. And maybe, just maybe, Erik ten Hag isn't the biggest problem in the new chairman's head. You know, he might look at that and go, okay, we'll support this guy for a little bit and then we'll make a choice. So there is that.
Well, it's funny that right at this moment, I've just scrolled my Twitter feed, Steve McLaren has told the BBC, at certain times since I've come back over the last 2 years, we've not had those standards. We've also had standards that have not been MUFC. Speaking to Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Brailsford, they are getting the best people in. They want this to succeed. They've done that in other sports and businesses. I'm positive they'll do it again with United. Like, you know, Ratcliffe's getting a bit of stick for the emails that he sent around, but you need, sometimes, as grim as it might be, you do need somebody who's going to come in and shake things up. Like, definitely. And I look at it and I think, fair enough. If that's the way he's going to do it, if you want to raise standards and you're not going to cater to your employees anymore, you're here, you got to work for a reason. You've got to be happy with it, like it or lump it and go. Like, that's, unfortunately, business is quite unforgiving. It doesn't, like, successful ones are quite cutthroat. And United has not been successful for a while. We've been going, we said we wasn't going to do like a specific section. We've done 40 odd minutes on a bloody Ten Hag section. Like,
anyway, it's important, isn't it? It's Eric, so he's a big part of our football club.
That is not a pro Ten Hag section for me, on my part anyway. That is literally what I've been, that's been my position on this whole time. Like, I understand, like, there's what you see on the pitch might annoy you because it's crap. It is bad. I understand that. But also, look at the Football United we're playing last season and tell me, is it the same as now? It's not. It's absolutely not. Ten Hag is doing this on purpose. You know that he's doing this on purpose. And yes, you can like use the stick to beat him with, he's too stubborn to change. But he has also shown last season that he can change if he feels like it. But he's doing this on purpose. And It's a painful period. And yeah, I think you were right there, Rob. I'm going to do it my way. And if I lose my job, fine. I'll get a payoff and then I'll find a job somewhere else. I'll go back to Ajax or I'll go somewhere. And I think that's the position he's in.
Yeah, because forevermore, he can say, if he gets sacked tomorrow, he can forever say, well, United was a mess. That's why I got sacked, because everything behind the scenes is a mess. You just said there about, like, you talk about staff around the football club. It's absolutely well known that United are not just dysfunctional on a football pitch, that they're dysfunctional in the business arm. Yeah. And they have been for a while. Now, they've made their money, Scott, but there's plenty. I talk to people at Manchester United, and one of the overriding things is that doesn't function like a normal business. Like, our offices don't function correctly. You know, the ideas around Old Trafford and the training ground do not function correctly. And I think that does seep down into the bones of the football club. I really do believe that. And again, you're Jim Ratcliffe and you've kind of done all this due diligence. You're looking at it now and you're starting to act. You're starting to go, do you know what? Yeah, the football's really bad, but we do have 27 things to fix first. That will take some time. So we'll fix that first. And then we get to a point where we might look at a manager. It might even get Scott into the summer and you might, you know, might have a disagreement with Ten Hag and then say, right, you know, we're done. But I actually think they've probably made their mind up on Ten Hag already. Like, again, that's what Gary Neville has said, isn't it, publicly? And it would not surprise me if he's still the manager next year. It just will not surprise me. But I think that there is some kind of self-sabotage going on here with the football team. Like, I really do think he's going, playing this team, and every week I'm on the phone, and every week he speaks to the technical director every day, he says, you know, speak to Jason Wilcox, and he'll be saying, it's not my system. The issue is the players. Get rid of the players, buy me new players. And if you don't like it, sack me and pay me off. And that's all right. That's kind of like, I would not surprise me, because I think that Ten Hag is that kind of character. I think Ten Hag is just like, that's me. I'm done. I don't think he's actually going to bend over backwards to accommodate Ineos. I really don't.
He did say in that Gary Neville interview, like, if I change my system now, it's going to take me longer to implement my system.
Yeah.
So the pain will be longer.
That's fair.
Like, and that's a valid point.
Yeah.
Completely valid.
I would like him to have other systems up his sleeve, but I think this is the issue, is that he's been trying to find an identity through, you know, trial and error. And with the injuries, that's obviously hurt him even more with selections. So I think this is it, is that that's the only saving grace for me. And the only thing I can think of is that I don't think he's unintelligible when it comes to football. I don't think he's a terrible coach. He's made this decision for a reason.
We just
don't know. Yeah, because I think people, again, can look at the game of football, Scott. Like, we haven't even talked about Arsenal yet. If Arsenal come to Old Trafford and absolutely make you look stupid and beat you 7-0, yeah, because they are so much better than you, fingers crossed they don't. But if that happens, then the question's going to be that you don't know what you're doing. You know, you need to leave. You know, please go. We need someone else to do it. And that's football, again, in a nutshell, isn't it?
We've been having that conversation every week all year. Like,
and this is what Ten Hag's not put that fire out. You know, we just said individual fires at the start of the show. Each week is a different fire, and he's not controlled that very well. You know, he's just said the same things in pressers, and you don't see it on a football pitch. You don't feel it on a football pitch. You don't think the players have really got a clue what he really wants. But that might be because the players are just not right for him. Like, that might be that. And if that's the case, he's gambling, Scott, but it's not like a gamble for him. Because he's going to get paid off. Football managers get sacked all the time. And if he gets sacked, he will definitely get another job somewhere else. And it's not because he's completely incompetent. I don't think the team has been prepared to do this system this year. I really don't. And I think the McLaren thing is interesting. As someone said the other day to me, and saw it, there's that. Doesn't feel like McLaren's got a lot of influence on this system. It's not very Steve McLaren. I think as well, actually, Ashley Young said it. In his thing, he talked about it and went, it doesn't feel very Steve McLaren, this system. Like, you know, we know what he does. And, you know, it's kind of strange. But it's the manager's choice. So if this is the manager's system, which I'm sure it is, then, yeah, maybe he needs 5 or 6 new players to really create a press. Because United play the press every week, Scott, and it's awful to watch. They don't know what they're doing in the press. But that means then you might have to sell Rashford. Might mean that you have to get someone who can do it on that side. It might mean you have to find 2 or 3 central midfielders, Scott, that can run the game from the centre of the pitch. And then you let the forward just go, like Liverpool used to with their 4-3-3. You have just 3 midfielders that run stuff in the middle, and then you let your forwards go and do the nice work at the top end, Salah, Mane and Firmino. You go find those profiles. So, I don't know. Like, still the gut feeling is that he will probably go. But at the same time, we do not know what he's agreed.
The other candidates, we do need to move on. Been going on too long.
Go on.
One other point I wanted to make. People hate the Arsenal comparisons. People hate the Arsenal comparisons of what Arteta did versus what Ten Hag is doing. Mm. One comparison that is completely valid, and you will not change my opinion on this. Arsenal saw their high earners and their players who weren't adapting to the system, and they released them. They paid them off. United have not done that. Aubameyang, Ozil, Socrates. There's more. There's more. Like, in terms of culture, in terms of, like, setting the standard, in terms of not taking any crap, they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the short-term hit financially in order to turn a corner, and they've turned a corner. I'm saying this now because Arsenal playing at Old Trafford this weekend with a style of play that Arsenal fans are really behind. But they had to go through a long period of time in order to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3 years nonstop in terms of evolution and change. And you just said that. I think the difference maybe is that with Arsenal, there was distinct disciplinary issues with both Ozil and Aubameyang. And the comparison to that with Man United is Jadon Sancho. So Jadon Sancho there.
And Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, exactly. And I think, you know, that again, like, Ronaldo feels a long time ago, doesn't it? But the fingerprints of that from Ronaldo and that dysfunction and the stuff that he did at United is still present. And that's the thing that Ten Hag has to fight against still, because people still, you know, worship that guy like he's a god. So you still, it's in recent memory, but at the same time, you think you want the club to move on. It takes time to be able to put in stuff that changes that. This is why we talked about Marcus Rashford a lot this year. You know, like, Marcus went out and did all that in Belfast or one thing or another. He shouldn't have done that. You know, it shows there's a lack of discipline at the football club as a whole. So that's also what Ineos have to decide, Scott, because that's their decision, you see, in the same way we talked about Edu there, is that Edu empowered Arteta to make those choices by getting rid of those players and just taking the hit and saying, right, we'll just swallow that hit. And it doesn't matter. United are going to have to do that with some players, aren't they? Like, if you keep Ten Hag, you are absolutely doing that with Jadon Sancho and Mason Greenwood. Yeah, you are doing that with those two players because they're disciplinary issues and they're not things that they're not purely stylistic issues. Yeah, and I think with Aubameyang wouldn't turn up for training. So they were like, oh, you're done. Ozil gave up. Like, he was on a football pitch walking around and looking like he just wanted to be anywhere else. So it was a disciplinary issue with them players. So United have got that. Don't want to put Marcus in that basket, but you might get there. You might get to the end of the season and go, Marcus, you're disciplined on the football pitch. You haven't done what we've asked you to do. So we don't like this anymore. We're going to move on. That's real, you see. But I also think that Marcus will be okay. Like, I think you keep him and he's under a big contract. Difficult to move him on. And I think if you get the system right and those things and other players in place, like I just said, a proper functioning midfield, the Rashford and front three might work if you do it like that.
And the defence.
Exactly, you know, in terms of the coverage. So there's a lot of rebuilding to do, but also at the same time, said last week, not every player has to be on £250,000 a week. They don't. You just have to go and find players that can do the system and do it every week to a high standard.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, we said that we would move on. And
we're moving
on, Scott.
Go on. We're moving on. Don't worry. People are not upset. It's fine.
I hope not. That went on a lot longer than I thought.
This
anyway.
Is what happens when we are chatty and it's not more like agenda driven. Like,
sorry, people.
It's all right.
Right. We'll fire through these other managers quite quickly.
Yeah.
And just we've touched on each of them in points in previous months. Yeah. I'm sure we'll do them again at some point in the future. But there are alternative candidates. Even with Ruben Amorim, we haven't even talked about yet. I mean, he's staying at Sporting.
He's staying there. Yeah. He has publicly said, I'm staying here. So, yeah.
You can go back on your words sometimes if United decide that's the right way. But anyway, Graham Potter has turned Ajax down.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about Graham Potter for a while. He's kind of fallen by the wayside, but he has the previous history. Look, all these issues that we've just talked about and spent 40-odd minutes talking about with Ten Hag. I mean, there is an easy potential fix, and like we obviously know that that's staring Ineos in the face. They could just literally sack Ten Hag, pay him off, and start again.
Mm-hmm.
They could. And like I'm not saying that they won't. There's a few candidates out there. Graham Potter turned down Ajax. Is he waiting for the United job, Rob?
I'm going to say this in kind of as broad a statement as possible without it being too detailed. Graham Potter wants the Man United job. So that's where we stand. So I think the thing is with Graham Potter is that the decision will be, does Dan Ashworth want Graham Potter? So I think the thing is, turning down the Ajax job, I think, is more to do with the fact that the salary in the Eredivisie in Amsterdam doesn't really match his Premier League expectations. I think that's the bigger part of it. So when we hear Graham Potter say, the Ajax project doesn't suit me, I think that's what it really means, is that, you know, I can actually earn a lot more money elsewhere and be at a bigger club. He wants the job. And I think, is he waiting for it? I think the only reason he would wait for it is if he's told that he might get it. So that's where we stand with it. And I think the thing is with him is that he's been off the scene a bit, Scott, hasn't he? Like we said, like his manager's been off the scene. But you can't forget that only 2 or 3 years ago, you know, he's one of the most talked about managers in Europe. People, you know, Lord Potter, people have worked with him, the projects that he's run before and how he gets players to play a good style of football. Yeah, people said, I saw today someone tweeted me earlier and went, you know, oh, he was a bit of a mess at Brighton. And when he left Brighton, Brighton became good. It's not true. Is that he put the foundations in place there with Dan Ashworth. And that's why Brighton have excelled. That's why De Zerbi could just walk into the football club and just be able to do what he's done there. To be honest, De Zerbi's not had a great season this year, let's be completely honest. But I think the thing is with Graham Potter is that, again, if you want a continuity candidate, someone who comes in and is just going to sing from the Ineos hymn book, he's a good choice. He's a good choice for them. You know, it's not my choice. I know he's not your choice, Scott, but he's a choice who is valid. And I think that's kind of where we stand with him.
I don't mind Graham Potter. But also, it's funny how time seems to heal.
Yeah.
They were booing him at Brighton at one point.
Oh, yeah.
He also went to a failing structure at Chelsea and couldn't get a tune out of the players.
Swansea, fix things. And
so Graham, the comparison I want to make is Graham Potter is in a similar situation, maybe slightly different. Ten Hag's tactics are in question. But the situation's the same. He's at a dysfunctional football club in Chelsea. Lost his job. Now, what, are you going to move over to another dysfunctional football club despite proving nothing at Chelsea? So you literally have a failed big club on your CV. And he walks into United. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I could see it happening. But, you know, I don't know. Like you say, it wouldn't be my first choice.
Just in comparison about Chelsea there as well, like Todd Bowley came out this week and spoke a bit about Pochettino. You know, Pochettino only said last week, I don't know if I'll be here next year because we don't know.
He said it today as well in his press conference.
So obviously he said it today in his presser. But like one of the things that Todd Bowley's come out with, and he was like, Todd Bowley said, the last kind of 5, 6, 7 games, I've finally been able to see what we're trying to do and I'm really happy. So that's cool because Graham Potter was Todd Bowley's guy. Yeah, Todd Bowley believed that Graham Potter was the best coach in Europe. It's the truth. So Todd Bowley went for him with that, and that's why they backed him so heavily with the amount of players that they bought. But the problem was, is just ran out of games, didn't he? They were so bad, they lost games. And the issue wasn't to Chelsea Football Club, was not Graham Potter. The issue was that they just lost games and they couldn't see what they were looking for. I guarantee you, Scott, if they kept Potter now, Chelsea would be competing for the top four this year. Yeah, but they burnt that down. They went to Pochettino. And Pochettino's had the same issue that Potter's had because he's another year behind the curve. So this is the issue, isn't it, for the Ten Hag comparisons, is that Ten Hag spent 2 years now, treading water. So if you do decide to get rid of him, and that might be your choice, you start again, don't you? It's like, you know, you have to go back to, oh, guys, in the dressing room, he's your new manager. Like, all get on with each other. Let's all start those day one interviews where you come into my office and I tell you what my expectations are. That takes time, takes months. So I think that's the thing with Potter, is that he might be the guy for that. Might be the guy that Ineos goes, you know what? We will back you and we're going to do this in the transfer market and we're going to give you some time. Like, we'll give you 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And if you can do what we want you to do, great. But I know United fans won't be down with that. I know United fans will look at that and go, Graham Potter, not for us.
Will they be on the positive for Tommy Tuchel, who has caught a bit of stick this week for his substitutions in the Champions League?
Would you call him? Tactical Tommy.
Tactical Tommy. Tactical Tommy. He's a good tactician. Like, yeah. You know, he is.
Bringing Harry Kane up after 85 minutes. What do you reckon?
He was injured. Like,
was he?
He was injured.
All yeah. Right. That's different then.
Like, would you take Harry Kane off if he wasn't injured?
God, no.
And he said in the post-match that he was injured. Musiala was also, right. I don't know, there was cramp or an injury. Yeah, but, yeah, like, yeah. That's the reasons that he gave. And really, do you think Harry Kane would want to come off in a Champions League semi-final?
No, margins are fine, you know, aren't they? Margins are fine.
Not that type of character. But Tuchel nearly pulled it off in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, if that was Man United, I'm not saying that it will be in a while, but they sat in and they defended and they counterattacked. You telling me that like they wouldn't be, if United lost that game with Tuchel as manager, that wouldn't be an absolute meltdown right now?
Oh, definitely. Like, was it, there's a meltdown going on in Germany. So it's like, it is what it is. And I think the thing is that, you know, we do know that, again, we talk about style of play, is that that's part of the issue, I think, with Tuchel. But one of the things with Bayern Munich is that Bayern Munich do feel that they jumped the gun by announcing he's leaving because they really like what he's done in the last X amount of weeks. And I'll say it here, I'll put my neck on the block here and now. Do not be surprised if there is some announcement in the next week or two or three that Thomas Tuchel is staying at Bayern Munich. So like, we're talking about him like he's going to be a free agent, but he might not be. Like, he really might not be. And he also spent quite a lot of time, Scott, in the last week talking to journalists and telling them how much he loves English football. So there's always that. It's like a bit like, well, why do you need to talk about that? It's a Champions League final against a Spanish team. But I do think that Thomas Tuchel, if he's free, is going to be heading back to the Premier League in some capacity. But I won't be surprised if he stays at Bayern Munich now, because Bayern Munich have run out of options in terms of people they could actually bring into their football club.
Tuchel, for me, I could see, and we touched on this a few weeks ago, a week or two ago, he is your plug-and-play fit, really.
Definitely. Yeah.
If they want to make that choice, I could see it. Your Sancho problem is fixed, really. Yeah. A lot of things are fixed. Like, you just, we talked about a few weeks ago, you just really need a defensive midfielder.
Mm.
Maybe it could even be Casemiro if you play in a tactic which is a lot more solid, which is what Tuchel will probably do. You probably get the best out of, let's say you put Rashford in Alphonso Davies' position. Like, Rashford can do that. You know, maybe not in the Champions League semi-final, but he can do that. You know?
Yeah, Rashford. I think Tuchel would use Rashford as forward. I think if you play two up top, or have the I think Hoyland and Rashford in a more narrow aspect. It's not what I would do, but that's what he would do. So that would work for Rashford. Do you get what I mean? Rashford is more up the pitch and not having to do some of that kind of pressing work in the shape. So yeah, I think Tuchel is, he's the plug and play. And Tuchel's the kind of guy that even you'll say, right, you know, first 20 games of the season, next season, yeah, we want to win 15. Right, we want to win 15, we'll lose two, draw three. The guy they'll go for is Tuchel. Tuchel is that guy who managed those scenarios better, though people say, you know, not being great at Bayern this year. But I'm talking about his body of work through his career, is that he's been good at constructing teams, working with what he's got, and not having to completely burn it all down to start again. So we'll see. But as I said, I actually do think he's going to stay at Bayern.
I don't personally, but we will see.
Right, unless the other Bayern one get what they want. Like, Bayern, they're not getting what they want, Scott, in the market. You know, so, you know, they thought they were getting Xabi Alonso for a long time, and Xabi Alonso told them yes, and then Xabi Alonso told them no. And they went, oh, gosh, who else do we go for? Do you reckon Mourinho for Bayern, maybe?
Maybe they'll pick Gareth Southgate after he leaves England at the Euros. Right, I'll just say this. I'll say my piece. People are scared of the Gareth Southgate thing. I completely get it. I really do.
I get it.
I understand it. On the positive side, I don't want Gareth Southgate. I'll just say that. Gareth Southgate has turned England from a joke to, you should be winning every tournament.
Yeah.
And yes, he gets stick, and fair enough. Maybe his tactics are... I think in tournaments, you have to be defensively solid and you have to be like in matches. You can't play pep football at tournaments. Like,
no,
really.
No.
Only one team has ever done it, you know? And that's just the way it is. I understand the appeal that Southgate will have for Ineos, but maybe this is just me being in denial. I don't think this is a thing. I really don't. And I haven't felt it's a thing for a while. Think about it, really.
Yeah.
In a tournament, so if this was next year, I would think it has a lot of legs. And maybe I'm wrong. But this year, with England going into a major tournament that they could win, right? That starts in mid-June, ends in mid-July. Do we really think Gareth Southgate is either going to announce that he's leaving England before a tournament and joining Manchester United, and how much that would upset England and send the media into absolute frenzy? Or do we think Man United, in their most important summer, their first summer under Ineos, are going to wait until pre-season has started to employ a manager? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, I'm picking the bones out of that. I do think it's a thing, but not much of a thing, right? That's the way I look at it. So, you know, you just said there about, you know, would this happen with internationals and United and all this? Well, there's some history in terms of Lopetegui in Real Madrid and Spain. That all happened, didn't it? You know, he was Spain manager, then he was Real Madrid manager, then Spain sacked him because they all got upset. So there is that. That can happen behind the scenes. Clubs can agree stuff where you look forward to, say, next year. But personally speaking, I think Southgate is down the list, like, in terms of preference. If you lost your top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 candidates, then I think Southgate comes into the mix a bit more. And I used the word continuity candidate just a minute ago. I think if Dan Ashworth wanted a manager who was going to come in, not really talk about style of play, but just settle things down and, again, sing from the Ineos, you know, hymn book, great. But there are two potential candidates out there coming up in the summer, in Potter and in Tuchel, if he does leave Bayern Munich, who I think are, in inverted commas on my screen here, better coaches. They're better coaches. They've got higher acumen. I think what Southgate's done at England is credible, and I think that's why he's in the mix, but I don't think he's good enough for Man United. That's my own opinion, is that I don't think his style of football is what we want, and he's completely unproven at Premier League level, completely. Like, at least Potter, we've seen what he does at Premier League level. We know what Tuchel does at Premier League level. I think Southgate, what has he done? Middlesbrough? No. Didn't work. Middlesbrough, that was a long time ago, wasn't it, Scott? So I think it's a thing, but only a small thing. And I do think that they've spoken to him. I do believe that. I do believe that they've had conversations. And the good thing is here, Scott, is that Ineos should speak to people. Ineos shouldn't just go, we've got one and we're going to go after that one. That's old school Man United. They should have 10. They should have 10 candidates and go, we're going to talk to all of them, and we're going to dig and dig and dig until we find the one that, like, snap our fingers and we've got him, whoever we want, yeah? Because that's what good businesses do, yeah? That's what strong, robust businesses do. They spread the net wide for the capture. So I just think he's in that. I think he's in that net somewhere, but I don't think he's going to get the job. Because like you said, I do think the England side of it, I wouldn't be surprised if he signs a new contract. Like, who's going to take the England job at the moment? There isn't, again, Graham Jose. Potter. Well, Graham Potter, Jose. I don't think Jose is actually on the block there. And just said that we haven't mentioned Jose today. I don't want to go down that route, but I'll say this. Jose Mourinho is really, really good friends, with Jim Ratcliffe. Very good friends. Just leave that there. So I'm not saying anything's going to happen there, but they will have spoken. They absolutely will have spoken at some point about stuff. So I don't think Mourinho's in the list, but again, much further on down the list in terms of going back to football clubs. Jose's got history for that, isn't he, going back to projects and starting them again. I don't think he's what you go with Man United. That's why I think Potter is probably much more of a credible option, because he's ready, he's free, and he's been looking for a job, knocking on doors. Ajax wanted him, shows that he's got demand still. We just went and got Ajax's manager 2 years ago, didn't we? So we've got another candidate who could have been there. It's interesting. I think it's all opening up. Could just end up with Ten Hag, Scott.
Ten Hag will take United for the Arsenal game. We talked about injuries. We've been going on too long. We need to. We will end this within 5 minutes.
Longest show ever, this, isn't it?
This might be. Considering we didn't have an agenda, really.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We like Ten Hag football. We're just freestyling. Everything is like freestyling. We're just like, let's just go mad for for an hour and 10 minutes and talk about everything and try and get it all in. But that's kind
Joe
of...
Joe Neves thing. Will have to wait for another day. That we did the most valuable club conversation earlier in the show. Yeah. Ten Hag, Arsenal. We have... Let's just go with what we think will happen and just talk about the fact that a few players are back from injury. We've got Marcus Rashford in training. Lisandro Martinez is in training. Luke Shaw, I think, is in training.
He is, yeah.
What would you, how, like I've said numerous times, Martinez and Shaw are quite important.
Definitely.
Does he rush him back, or do we just wait?
No, don't rush them back. But if they're ready, get them ready. That's the way you have to look at it. Because even if they're on your bench, Scott, in the FA Cup final, it might help you. So I think the thing is here is that we have rushed players back all season long. Again, one thing we didn't talk about as well as with Jim Ratcliffe's section earlier on is that Jim Ratcliffe has ordered kind of a root and branch search why we've been getting all of the injuries. Like, he wants to know why we've had 67 independent injuries this year. He wants to know why. So don't rush them back. Like, I think the thing is that if you can get minutes out of them, they're not ready for Arsenal either, let's be honest. You know, that's going to be a high intensity game. You don't want to blow out one of those players' injuries again, do you? But keep them training, keep them ready. Maybe they'll be ready for Brighton, last game of the season, and then you give them minutes in a cup final and give yourself an opportunity to beat Man City. But I think that's it. I wouldn't rush him back, Scott. Would you? Would you rush him back? You're tempted. I can see it in your eyes.
I am tempted. From a completely selfish perspective, I prefer him to miss the Copa America.
Yeah, I think we need to be smarter with the injuries now. Like, I think we rushed a lot of players back this year, and I understand why totally, because of so many other injuries. But I also think you've compounded that. And I think, let's get these guys fit, Scott. And, you know, let's give them a good preseason. Like, that's more important to me. Like, get them fit. You know, they've got to go play the Copa America, fine. But let's get them with a solid preseason where we know the fitness levels are ready for game one on day one. And that's my thinking already now. Like I said, next 3 weeks of football, not the most important thing.
Right. We will be done.
Arsenal prediction, Scott. Here we go.
I think United don't lose.
Don't lose. What's the score prediction? I never do score predictions, but let's do it.
2-2.
I think it is going to be 3-1 to Arsenal.
Yeah, fair enough. Let us know what you think the result will be at the weekend. Let us know who you would like to see as the manager, or what you think will happen with whoever the manager is. Mm. Like, apologies. We were going to talk about Jadon Sancho and João Neves a little bit. We didn't, even though we've gone for an hour and 15 minutes, but I'm sure they'll crop up again at some point. But yeah, that has been an extended version of the Promised Land podcast. And until we will communicate this on social. We might go live after Arsenal, but it's not yet confirmed. So keep an eye out for that. But thank you to Rob. I've been Scott. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and watch us on YouTube, the Promised Land and Man United podcast. Give us a 5-star review on the audios and drop a comment for us as well. Like the stream. Subscribe if you haven't already, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And the social medias are at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC. That is it from us. Hopefully United don't get smashed by Arsenal, so we don't have to keep having the conversation that we've been having all season about Ten Hag's tactics being flawed. But we'll see. Who knows what's going to happen from Rob and from myself. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you soon for another Promised Land podcast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.